course not. No one would want to murder us. Felicity smiled, but it was wasted, as Aunt Agnes did not even look at her. She stared down at her lap and pulled at the fringe on the shawl. Shall I fetch your book, then? What were you reading? Perhaps something by Hannah More would make you feel better. You know I cannot attend to Hannah More's writings. Well, then, I shall bring you your favourite, The Mysteries of Rodolfo. That always transports your mind. She hurried away to fetch it before her aunt should protest that as well. When Felicity handed her the book, Aunt Agnes opened it and seemed to be reading. Felicity poured her a glass of water and brought it to her. Aunt Agnes suddenly closed the book. I keep seeing that man's face. She burst into tears. Tears pricked Felicity's own eyes. It was very frightening to see that man there, but we cannot let fear overwhelm us. How noble and brave and capable Mr. Merrick had looked when he had leapt over that bush to get to them, and how kind and gentle he had been with Aunt Agnes. Truly, he must be a very capable man for the Home Secretary to trust him enough to infiltrate this dangerous group alone. And in truth, we are not without a friend here, Auntie. God has not left us friendless. That was a verse in the Bible, was it not? Yes, of course. Mr. Ratley. Aunt Agnes lifted her head and pulled out her handkerchief with her shaking hands and wiped her face and nose. Mr. Ratley will not allow anything bad to happen to us. She refrained from telling her aunt that she was not talking about Mr. Ratley. A light knock came at the door. I'll be back in a moment. Felicity went to the door and opened it. Mr. Merrick quickly stepped inside and closed the door behind him. Startled but mesmerized by the intense look in his blue eyes, she held her breath as he began to speak in a hushed voice.
Can you meet me in an hour?
I think so.
In 1 hour, go to the library. On the left wall is a door to a small room. Will you meet me there?
Yes.
How is Miss Appleby?
He glanced in Auntie's direction. She is very upset. I was just about to go get her some warm milk.
Allow me. I shall find a servant to bring it up to her.
You are very kind.
I will meet you in an hour.
He left as quickly as he had come. Felicity tried not to appear anxious, but her heart was beating fast as she made her way down the stairs. She had her answer ready in case anyone saw her. She was going to the library to get a book for her aunt. She made it to the library without anyone seeing her. She walked to the left, pretending to look at the books on the shelves, moving rather slowly, listening for other people in the room. But when she found the door Mr. Merrick had told her about, she had not seen or heard anyone. She turned the knob and stepped inside. The room was completely dark except for the candle that Mr. Merrick was holding. He reached behind her and quietly closed the door, his arm brushing her shoulder in the small room. Old books lined the walls and filled the air with a musty smell. But her gaze was arrested by Mr. Merrick's face. Truly, in the dim candlelight and shadows, he seemed even more handsome, and she noticed that he was quite tall. She was endangering her reputation by meeting a man alone at a house party, but she felt safer in this moment than she had in days.
"Forgive me for asking you to meet me like this," Mr. Merrick began, his voice low and gravelly. "But I need to know anything that might help me discover who killed Mr. Erickson. Did Miss Appleby see anyone before she found the body?"
Mr. Merrick leaned toward her, and she was very aware of his being only inches away. "Neither of us saw anyone else in the garden. I went to look into a bird's nest and Aunt Agnes screamed. When I returned to where she was hysterical, and I saw a hand lying on the ground. I pushed back the bush then, and we could see the man's face. A puddle of blood seemed to be coming from beneath him."
"Did you know him? Had you seen him before?"
"No, never."
"And you saw no one else in or around the garden?"
"No. Who was the man?"
"He was a reformer, but he favoured peaceful means of reform.